put out videos on short form platforms, but like if they're not consistent to the like if the views aren't consistent, mm-hmm. you're not going to really see an income, right? Yeah. You're not going to get paid. Yeah. So with that said, like I wouldn't discourage people from continuing to do that, but just know that you could keep doing it, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very select like few or like a very small percentage of people that like get that quick.
Yeah.
Follow like that quick growth rate,
yeah.
and can now turn it into a financial gain. But if you're willing to put in the time, I think, like, you know, who's to say you can't also get there, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Bonkai Senbon Sakura Kageyoshi.
Welcome anime fans to the Super Anime Podcast, where each week we look to entertain, inspire and inform you on all things anime. Whether you're new to anime or a seasoned veteran, we invite you to come listen, share and laugh with us. We hope every episode ignites your otaku spirit and leaves you feeling super. Thanks for listening, hope you enjoy, let's start the show.
Yes, and welcome back to another episode of Super Anime Podcast. Once again, we have an incredible guest being featured on the podcast. Our guest today has amassed over 80,000 followers across all platforms, over 3 million likes on TikTok alone. He has his own clothing brand, and he's an amazing, amazing digital content creator. Ladies and gentlemen, all our super lights, hit it! Na 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 na.
Hey, hey,
na 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 na.
Taking me back, man.
Here comes the hot stepper murderer. He's the cosplay gangster murderer, part of the One Piece crew now. Murderer, we love him like that. Murderer. Yes, ladies and gentlemen,
wow.
Introducing the hot stepping Spider-Man wearing anime loving dancing sensation Kuma Sutra.
I do not deserve an introduction like that. That was amazing.
Nah, you do. You definitely do, man. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
No, of course. And actually, speaking of murder, we're going to go dive straight in before we go back to the beginnings or the origins. If there was one anime character you could delete from existence, they were never created, who would it be and why?
Never created?
As in they were just deleted. Like, for instance, Goku never existed. They were never created.
Ah, man. I don't think I hate any anime character to that extent. But if I don't know. I think everyone has a purpose.
Mm.
You know?
No, that's good answer. It's a good answer. Fair play.
Whether you hate them or not, I think character, because to me, at the end of the day, I enjoy anime for what it is. Whether or not if I vibe with an anime I'm watching, mm-hmm. is another story. But I'm never gonna crap on anybody. Like, I don't think any anime character. Actually, know what I take back.
Go on,
actually, no, I take what I just said. I take back.
We don't judge.
I hate.
Here. We don't judge. Yeah. Here, so
we all hate Sho Tucker, right? From
yes.
Little Alchemist Brotherhood.
Yes.
But without him being in that anime, and without him doing the experiment on his daughter, combining her with the dog to create a chimera, you wouldn't be able to see the layers of the world that Fullmetal Alchemist is.
Correct.
And what people go, like the lengths people go to do alchemy and stuff like that. So I think Sho Tucker is a universally hated character, but I think that speaks to the writing and to the world building of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, or just that anime in general, that world. So I hate him, like as a lot of people do, because who would do that to their own like flesh and blood, their own kid, their own daughter? But it served a purpose. So I hate him, but I wouldn't delete him from the show, because people still reference that scene to this day.
It's,
you know, it's a test of time.
Yeah, I mean, you're a better man than me. I would like delete him, cancel him, don't ever.
Yeah, who would you delete? No, who would you delete? That's a great question, though.
I mean, Sho Tucker is up there for sure.
Right.
I think I think, I mean, to be honest, I love him, and I know this is bad to say, but I love him. But I would have to delete him for all the heinous crimes he's done to, and it's Frieza. I love.
Oh, okay, all right.
I love Frieza as a character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the genocide he committed is just insane. Insane. But I love him as a villain, you know. And I think you answered it very well in that purpose. I think without Frieza, there's no Super Saiyan, you know, so on and so forth. So,
but yeah, that dude is we don't approve of racism or genocide here.
Exactly. But he's a great there's a lot of criticism around Toriyama and Dragon Ball Z story, blah blah. We won't get into that, but I have to say, from my perspective, Frieza is a very well-written character, honestly.
Absolutely. I'd agree with
I just love his... He's like a James Bond villain. I love his mannerisms.
That's a good analogy. Yeah, I like that.
And it just some of the vocabulary says, like salubrious and stuff like that. He's just very... You can tell.
Hold on. Let me bring out the dictionary real quick.
You can tell, like, this guy is groomed as a... What's it called? As a prince that he was. But no, thank you so much for that. Okay, so let's go back to the origins in terms of you as a content creator. One thing we ask as part of this podcast, and we ask our guests, is what's something that people don't know about you that you'd like to share on this podcast?
It's a great question. I feel like a lot of information is public. So, I mean, aside from like my government, I don't really like saying it because I go by a nickname.
Mm-hmm.
I think when people, you know, when I talk about content creation and stuff like that, which is still the wild, wild west, you know, and something that I recently got into over the course of the pandemic and things of that nature the past 3 years, I think people are surprised to know my background and like where I came before content creation. Because like, you know, a lot of people put out content, but for the most part, people have like their full-time job and stuff like that. So before actually diving into content creation full time, I actually used to work for the WWE.
What?
Oh wow!
I was a production assistant, video editor, and just was at their headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut, helping out the TV production aspect. Of making sure the shows run every week, you know, Monday Night Raw, Tuesday Night SmackDown, NXT, and Friday Night SmackDown. So I would help edit videos for them that we would send to the road team to, you know, play those really cool hype video packages that you see. That's kind of my background in general. Just going through as a kid, like I love making like stupid dance videos, like taking a camera, putting it in the computer, editing it with whatever effects, and then that kind of led me to want to get into like TV production. Luckily for me, and not a lot of people have this, when I was in high school, they had a TV production class, and that kind of just got the ball rolling to like, oh, I could make a career out of this, you know. And lo and behold, that led to college, me still pursuing TV production and film and stuff like that. And then after college, that led to me getting a job at WWE. It wasn't a linear, very linear path. Like, you know, self-doubt and ups and downs and thinking like, wow, like, can I even really do this? You know, is there a place for me here? But I'm glad I stuck with it. And it's kind of led to this point, really. It's kind of made me who I am. And my time at WWE really helped sharpen the skill set and the tools to really, you know, go about how I want to do my own content. And now we're here, I guess.
I mean, I don't think any, I think it's maybe like less than 1% of any career path is linear, you know. I don't say much about my background. People do know I work in marketing, but I started off wanting to do investment banking. Didn't quite happen, but we shall move on. I'm still in finance though, but just not an investment bank. To be honest, I don't want to be an investment banker now. When I was younger, you know, you see the dollar signs and you hear about the money they get, but I've heard about the working conditions and so on and so forth. It's not necessarily the greatest.
And honestly, as you're going through life and, you know, becoming an adult and journeying through your adulthood, you kind of find the things that fuel you, like in your passions outside of work. Honestly.
Correct.
Like I was still, when I was working at WWE, and I'm sure if you know about it, that company is a machine, right? There's no off season. Those wrestlers, the shows, they go day in, day out, every day, 24/7, 365. So yep. I would work there. I had pretty strenuous hours. I mean, I loved the work because, you know, if I didn't love it, I wouldn't be there.
Yep.
But Outside of that, like, I would come home at, let's say, 10, like 11, wow, midnight, and be like, I still want to create something, like, because obviously I still had things I love outside of wrestling, like pro wrestling, like gaming and anime and manga and stuff. So I would come home, I'd be tired, but like, damn, I want to make a stupid anime video because I saw something on TikTok that was funny and I want to recreate it or something. So that's why I tell people, like, you know, like, just whatever you like, just put it out there and you never know what can happen, you know?
Very true. And I think you've touched upon it, but if we can dive in deeper in terms of your,
yeah, sure,
your journey as a creator. We'll get to the anime stuff later, but I always like to understand people, because you're more than just an anime creator. You are a content creator. And I just wanted to know, how did that come about? I know you mentioned, again, you started in a WWE, you're doing video to 10 then, and almost like a side hustle or side project, you started doing videos on the side. How did you go full time with it? And then how did you come up with the name Kuma Sutra as well?
So I guess I'll start there. Kumar is not my real name. It's a nickname I go by. It's in my last name, but everyone called me Mike growing up as a kid and things of that. But then when I think it was 2000, I got to remember that, maybe 2008 or 2009 is when the movie Harold and Kumar came out. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, and people picked up on that character Kumar and them seeing that in my last name, and it kind of just snowballed into, you know, people calling me Kumar. And I think I didn't mind that, obviously, like, of course you could see the correlation between like a South Asian guy Kumar and then me, but Kumar in that movie was like the first normal Indian guy in like Hollywood media to me, you know, like, because before that, you know, especially growing up as a kid in the 90s, there were stereotypes like crazy, right? Yeah. So, you know, you got Apu and the Simpsons and stuff like that. Yeah. And I've touched upon this in another video of another creator, his name's Shaji Sharma, about like Indians online and the racism and stuff like that, and how Indians were never really seen as cool, you know? Like, you know, I remember as a kid growing up, I'm not Indian, I'm Sri Lankan, but, you know, to generalize it, you know, being called Indian was like a diss, like, you know, like, oh, you're Indian, you know, like, you know, like, what the fuck?
Same with African. Me, what the same hell? With African. So, you didn't even have to say anything else. Just you're African, and that was the diss. Yeah.
So Kumar and Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle was like the first, like, I can relate to this guy. This is a normal Indian guy from New Jersey that just likes to smoke weed and eat burgers. You know, like, he wants to just go eat food with his friend, and that really stuck with me, which is why, like, I liked being called Kumar as a nickname, aside from the fact that it is in my last name. Mm-hmm. And so from there, Kumar Sutra, the social media name, is something that, you know, there's the Kama Sutra. During college, I kind of like when Instagram was kind of like becoming the bigger thing of people to go online and Twitter. Like, this is like 2012. I thought Kumar Sutra would be a clever nickname because you got Kama Sutra, Kumar Sutra, play on words. Yeah. It's probably the most clever I'll ever be in my life. I'm pretty proud of it. Haven't changed my handle since. And nice. I don't know. It's cheeky because, of course, when people hear Kama Sutra, they just think of, you know, the book about how to know sex sexual intercourse. But actually, when I looked it up, Kama Sutra is more than just that. It's a series of books, but it's a series of books that teach you how you should live your life, or like the way you should be living your life. So I thought that kind of resonated with me because I've always been about being an advocate for people to live the way you want to live and pursue the things you want to do based on like your niches, your passions, your interests. And I thought it'd be cheeky, you know, to have like a sly, dirty kind of connotation as well with that. So it kind of just fits me and my personality, honestly. And from there, Kumar Sutra is the social media handle. And I did not start content creation until I took a shot at it, I will say, early on after college. I graduated in 2014. So a year or two after that, you know, when you're trying to figure out your life after college, I was doing a lot of freelance work, but I was trying to see if I could do like YouTube videos on the side. So me and my friend would like kind of meet up and do Man of the Street style videos here and there, but it wasn't consistent. But that was like my first start into content creation. But like, I'm sure as you've noticed, like, the word content and just content creation has just been this whole like crazy world that's blown up within the past, I don't know, 4 years, like since 2020. Like, I haven't heard the word content as much as I have since the pandemic. I don't know when it came about, but so speaking of which, the pandemic 2020 is where I met my girlfriend. She moved to Queens, New York. I was living in I'm from the Bronx, but I was living in a suburban area before I moved to Connecticut to work at WWE. And she was trying to get me onto TikTok, and I'm kind of a boomer in that sense. Like, I thought, oh no, nothing will be better than Vine. Vine was like the best social media app. TikTok is just trying to be Vine.
Yeah.
But she showed me like TikTok. Like, she's like, you know, people are creating things about what they like. It's not just, because before TikTok it was called musicality, I think, which people were just doing dancing and lip syncing stuff. But she was like, people are creating like videos, like funny videos like Vine, but you have more of a time limit and you have more time to create, and they're making things about their niches, what they like, comic books, movies, anime. And again, I was kind of like, I don't know. It seems like it's still for the kids. I think I'm past that point of like trying to create for myself. But she made a dumb anime TikTok videos or a couple, and she started getting a lot of good traction, like really good engagement, like, you know, a lot of views. And I was like, okay, you're onto something here. And it kind of just led me to be like, okay, like when I'm not working on like a video for WWE, let me see if I can just make something. And I've met a lot of cool people through TikTok, a lot of good friends that I can consider friends for life. And that's a big thing too, just the community aspect of social media nowadays, how you can find a community, find people that you resonate with, that you can meet in real life. And a lot of that happened in the early 2020s, like 2020 to 2021, when everything was shut down, everyone was just home.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were just making stuff that they like, stupid things that they like. It's like, yeah, it's cringe now when you think about it, but at the end of the day, you gotta embrace who you are. And like, I just say, you know, go for it. And that's why I don't mind making stupid anime videos. And it's gotten to me, and as you keep going, you see like, there's things that can lead to, like, you know, companies being like, oh, seeing that you're doing fun stuff or getting a following and wanting to work with you. And that's like the tricky side of getting down. But at the end of the day, the numbers don't really matter to me. It's cool to work with like companies like Viz Media and Shonen Jump and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, if I see something dumb that I laugh at, that's all I care about. So that's always been my headspace. And I encourage people to think the same way, because you never know what eyes will see it and who will resonate with it and want to work with you and stuff like that.
No, thank you very much. I think you're right. In terms of like content, we are in a creator economy, especially in the last 4 years or 5 years. And you, with the advent of AI, it's just going to get even more insane.
Oh man, yeah, so, that's a whole other
background. Yeah, yeah. But it's great that you found, well, you had a good girlfriend who kind of like pushed you, well, not pushed you, but she, by doing it herself, you saw actually, no, this is a viable platform.
And honestly, she's a big reason as to why I've continued to do it, because not without her, like, yes, she showed me like the platform and the avenue, but she was a big reason why I decided to quit WWE. Like, cause she knew I loved it there. She knew I was putting a lot of hours there. But aside from the fact that not getting like, you know, the time to be with, you know, the person you're in a relationship with, she kind of gave me the question of, you know, you're putting a lot of time in WWE, like you're making like really cool videos, like you're doing what you love, but have you ever asked yourself what you could do of yourself if you give yourself the same time amount of time? So she really gave me that question. I was like, wow, you're right. Like, and she was also like, you're only getting older. You don't want to be like 75 and regret, like, you know, yeah, I should have made stupid anime videos when I was younger. And again, you can start whenever. Like, I could be 70 and still be making dumb anime videos. But
for sure.
But she was just like, give it a shot, you know, like, you know. And I also preface the fact that she has a very good job. So she persuaded me to quit and go full time into it, because she had the responsibility to be like, I got you. I know this is going to be like a bumpy journey. You're not going to see financial gain immediately. You might not for a while. But I got us. Like, I want you to pursue this thing because I think you can, which is like a huge undertaking. Like, I, you know, who else can really say that or have that kind of support system? So, like, of course, that's why people still work their full-time jobs, their day-to-day jobs, their 9-to-5s while creating on the side, because that's what they have to do to sustain themselves. But so I'm definitely lucky, like super lucky that I have that. And I think we've seen strides, but without her, like, I think I would still be doing what I'm doing, but I don't think I would have seen the success given the time I have, you know, or like the things I can do and go to, because not for nothing, like, she's literally a sponsor. So so that's like a thing that I have, like, I do not take for granted, and very thankful for sure.
Yeah, she's a real one for sure. So
that's shout good. Out to Manga Mama Parents.
That's on good. Social that's media. Good. in terms of like, just so, what's one thing that you really enjoy about? I know you've kind of touched upon it, but what's one thing that is one of what's one of the favorite things about being a creator, and what's the one of the worst things about being a creator? Because and let's start off the worst, because I know that it can look glamorous and I know it's fun, but I do also know that there's a lot of work that goes behind these skits, these videos, right. And I don't think people appreciate it enough. But I just wanted to get your take in terms of, for you, like, what's your, if we say a rose and a thorn, what's your thorn regarding content creation?
That's a good saying. I like that. I like that the metaphor. I think the biggest thing is definitely just and this is good. This goes for just life in general. Mm. Like, in terms of, this is also like not just solely the content creation. The internet is a very negative place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could see a video of, I don't know, a kid wearing glasses and be able to see for the first time, and you'll have comments of people like bashing the kid, or like, you know, or some stupid negative comment. So clearly, in whatever niche you're in, you're gonna always have the it's gonna reach a certain amount of people, and there's no way to avoid negativity and toxicity from people mm-hmm. that have that power to do that, because they're hiding behind a phone screen and will not get checked in real life. Because I guarantee you, and I say this all the time to people who are like feeling down about themselves when it comes to those comments, they're not going to give you that same energy in real life. Like, that's crazy. Like, if you're at a convention and someone goes up to you and says your cosplay sucks, like, when is that ever going to happen in real life? You know, like, I would legit slap that dude. Like, you can't talk to anybody like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
of course,
yeah.
Because they have the power of anonymity, if that's the correct way to say it.
Yeah, anonymity.
They feel emboldened to say hateful stuff because they're not going to get checked for it. So the amount of negative comments that you can see, and of course, you could scroll past, delete it, whatever. But the fact that you even have to see it to begin with, and that, again, also snowballs into people of color, black people, people with melanin, dealing with racism, like, you know, and these, those stupid things, like, just because you're not Asian or, you know, white passing, like, you can't cosplay this anime character because they don't have the same skin tone as you. Like, that's the stupidest thing. Like, this is all fiction. Like, we're just having fun here, like, you know, enjoying our niches and the things we like. Like, what's the point of thinking that way? So I think that's the biggest thing, just negative comments.
Mm.
And I always tell people, like, they're commenting on your content, so you can choose to do what you want with that comment. Delete it, block them, whatever, like, whatever gets you to just get rid of that negative energy, like, just do it, because they don't deserve your space, or they don't deserve to put you in a bad space because of what they did, because they're crappy people, you know?
Mm.
So for me, I don't mind. Like, I used to get really triggered. Like, I would go back and forth with these people. Like, I would be like, because I would think I'd have to defend myself because they commented on my stuff, right? And that just led me to realize, like, I'm literally giving this person my time and energy to engage in this negative, like, hate filled, like, interaction. And that's just A, wasting my time, and B, making me feel worse because I'm trying to give that person the same energy they're giving me. So how am I supposed to stay positive if I'm just going to try to get back at this guy, you mm-hmm. know, oh, he said this bad thing about me, I have to, like, put him down. And, you know, you can check people and they might, you know, delete their comment, or, like, you might get people to dogpile on them because what they said was really bad or negative or, you know, racist and blah, blah, blah. But at the end, like, I've gotten to the point where I just, like, I'm not even going to give these people the time of the day. Like, you can comment, sure. Like, I don't mind. Like, I can see it, but I'm just going to, like, look past it because there's so much other people out there that are commenting that are being super positive and, like, actually enjoying you for you. So that'll always, like, trump the negativity. But I know what they said, like, one bad comment out of, like, 1,000 good comments can, like, really put a damper on people. So it's just how you go about navigating that. And if it comes down to you just deleting or blocking that comment or that person, like, and that puts you in the right mind space to, like, not have to think about it, then do that. But yeah, as I'm sure you see it all the time. Like,
there's
some hateful people out there, man, for reason. And it doesn't matter if you do content, if you play basketball, if you sew, if you make your own clothing. You can't really escape that because of the online atmosphere.
Yeah, I think, and forgive me, I'm wrong, but I think it's called negativity bias, where, to your point, you can have like a million things that say you're the best, Kumar, amazing, and one one comment just says this was trash, blah blah blah, and then you focus on that. I had an instance where this guy was just being racist for no reason, just being racist to me. But sometimes what I'd like to do is I like to troll, so but troll back with like nice comments. So whenever
kindness kills, kindness
kills. So and it came to the point where I was just doing it all the time. He would comment on my post that it just annoyed him so much that he stopped commenting. Because I was like, thanks so much, brother. I really love that comment. That is superb. I just kept doing that. Because at the end of the day, to your point, there's no point giving this stuff energy because it's just going to take your time. You're just going to add more gas or flames to it. And there's so many other more deserving people who are giving you praise and your flowers.
Absolutely.
That they need to be attended to and just focused on. So that was the thorns. What's the rose then regarding content creation?
I think I touched upon it a little bit, but I will definitely say just meeting people, like the amount of people you can meet that you can, that you feel like you can resonate with is really awesome. And then see, like, cause for example, we're having this podcast right now. And like, you know, we're having a real interaction, but before that, like it was just through the phone, right? You're just seeing and scrolling and seeing these people, but and be like, damn, they look really cool. And then meeting these people, like you get like, they're just like how I thought they would be, you know what I mean? Like, so just having that community and building like relationships, like deeper than just being a mutual or stuff like that. And like getting to know the people for who they are behind the content is really cool. And like building a community, I think is really, has become more important to me, just not for the sake of building a following, but the fulfillment I get of being like, cultivating like-minded people and getting to meet them and share that energy, whether you're creating together in collaboration of like whatever content you make or just getting to hang out with people and enjoying your time. Because I feel like as I've gotten older, it's been harder like to make IRL friends, to make real life friends. You know what I mean? Especially because I recently moved out of New York. So it's my first, I live in Las Vegas now. So it's the first time in the West Coast. And it's the first time I've moved out of like, where I grew up my whole life practically, right? So I think content creation, I've met people that also now live in Vegas that are like into the same things I am and like do the content and cosplay and things of that nature. And I think social media content creation is a good way to just make friends. I think that's a really, really dope aspect about it. As much as like we talked about it before, there's negativity, but there's always going to be the positive side. And that's a big one for me, just being able to make friends and get to meet them online. Like I'm so like, especially during the pandemic when we were just scrolling and like, you know, being shackled to our homes and being able to go out, like just being able to make friends online and then seeing them for the first time in person when everything started opening up again was like a really amazing feeling and a really awesome experience. So I think just making friends online is always dope.
No, I agree with that. I think it's beautiful to see the anime community. I've been podcasting now for about 3.5 years now. And I think it's just beautiful that how the anime community comes together.
Was the pandemic a reason why you decided to start?
It really was. Me and my co-host, we would always, it's funny because we would always have conversations and we would always try not to speak to about anime. Not because we didn't want to, but we just always kept coming back to anime. We're like, let's see if we can talk something else. So we'll try and talk about finance, investments, or just general life, gaming. But then we always somehow ended on anime. So it was just like, you know what? If we're going to talk about anime, let's just do it on a podcast. That time, I think everyone was having a podcast. But yeah, I started it and it's been an amazing, amazing journey. Got to meet great creators like yourselves.
I recall you guys did one with our boy Rob, aka
Showdown.
And he's somebody that like I'm so thankful to have met through content creation, because like he's an awesome guy, but like he's somebody now that I consider like that's my friend, like that's my guy. Like we it's more than just oh, I have a video idea, let's do it together. Like it's stuff that we can build upon our relationship and be like, damn, like I could do anything with this guy, because I have that now because of just meeting of somebody through content creation and through mutuals and stuff like that. So he's an awesome guy. But to your point, like you're able to meet these people and, like, you know, have genuine conversations because of your podcast. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And it doesn't hurt that it's about what we love, which is, you know, anime.
Yeah, anime. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, my advice to anyone starting a podcast, you want to go niche.
Absolutely.
To be honest, I was thinking we should have gone even more granular, like focused on an anime, but I don't think, other than One Piece, and I know you're going to throw shade. I know you're a Naruto stan, boy. But other than One Piece, I don't think there's an anime I could do a whole podcast on for, like, more than, I don't know, 60 episodes. So we keep it broad, we keep it fun, we keep it entertaining. And then we also like to bring in guests. So that's cool. And then, just if you don't mind me asking, was the move to Vegas because of the tax breaks, or was it just something else in general?
No, it was actually because of the fact that I quit WWE. I had no reason to be in Stamford, Connecticut, where WWE is located, their headquarters. And my girlfriend, she was pretty much over her current job. Like, she's a mechanical engineer, but where the company she was working for was pretty toxic work environment. So she got super burnt out.
Mm.
So she decided to quit. We're both now not tied down to the East Coast. Like, we both don't have jobs.
Yeah.
And she was kind of like, she had moved to New York from the West Coast, and we were in Stamford, Connecticut, and she was like, I kind of miss being on the West Coast. And we started looking, and we realized that, like, surprisingly, Las Vegas is pretty affordable. Like, the cost of living is cheaper than places like New York and Los Angeles, where she came from. So, and she didn't want to move to Los Angeles again. So we're like, she's like, should we try Vegas? And I was like, why not? You know, like, why not? Because I, like I said, I'm not tied down to the East Coast anymore, aside from my family. And I had lived in the tri-state area, which is New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, my whole life. So being an adult, I'm just like, when is the next time I can say I've lived, you know, elsewhere, where I've traveled? So I was like, F it, let's do it. Let's move to Vegas. So here we are. And that was a really cool, awesome journey, because we decided to take an RV and travel across
the US
to get to Vegas. And
cool.
If we hadn't quit, you know, we would have never quit our jobs. We had never done that. That was super awesome to do. It was really, like, a really great experience, just traveling. It was me, my girlfriend, her cat, which is right here. I'll probably show Nala, in an RV. And we just traveled from the East Coast to Vegas, and decided to land here. And she thankfully got, aside from the cost of living, she got a really good opportunity work-wise, and she's awesome. Super happy. The work-life balance here is pretty good for her. And if you're ever in Vegas, or if you ever need anything to do niche-wise, there's a ton of nerdy-ish to do here. There's a lot of anime, a lot of gaming, a lot of esports. So it's kind of just started, the puzzle pieces just fell into place of how I'm able to still get what I want out of content creation, but also, like, outside of that, like, just be able to enjoy the city. Because I'm sure as you and anyone else could, when they hear the word Las Vegas, it's very, like, Sin City, stereotype. Yeah. But there's a lot of development happening in Las Vegas that we've been seeing. A lot of sports teams are coming here. Like, they're about to have an MLB, a baseball team here. Okay. They're about to have their a basketball team here. So there's a lot of development in the city, and it's becoming more of just the Sin City casino stereotype. There's a lot of development happening to become, like, a hidden gem of a city. It's almost like it's feeling like it's going to be like a new Los Angeles.
Mm.
But with that said, because it's kind of affordable to live here, people from LA, which is expensive to live, are going to start flocking here, and then the cost of living will go up. And
But
we're enjoying ourselves. So if you ever had, we're curious to, if anyone's curious about Vegas, I think you guys should come and check it out. It's pretty fun. I'm enjoying myself here.
No, the reason why I asked, and it's because I watch a YouTube channel called Graham Stephan. I'm not sure if you know him. He's like, he does investing in finance, and he lives in Vegas, and he talks about, that's why I said tax breaks, but that was one of the things, but also
that's definitely a bonus.
For sure. That's why I asked. But yeah, he mentioned as well, like, other than just the glamorous Vegas strip and stuff like that, Vegas actually has a lot to offer. The only downside, he said, is it's just extremely hot, but otherwise.
Yeah. We moved here this past July, and it was the hottest month, and it was like, I'm more of a summer than winter guy, so I don't mind the hot, but it's the fact that it's like desert heat, so it's dry, so that's something I've never been used to. So I would go outside during those summer, like, peak summer months, and my my lips would instantly dry up. Like, I've never used more chapstick here than anywhere else in my life. And just like moisturizing and putting, like, we have melanin, so of course we're, you know, melanin, so we're, that's always been a thing, but I'm like putting more because
of course
the heat. And I could walk to my mailbox to get mail and I'll get darker, but I'll put sunscreen. Like in 2 seconds, I'll get a shade darker. It gets that hot and the sun like hits that hard.
But, dang.
Yeah, no, but I don't mind it. Like, I can see people being like, nah, it's too hot, but like, I enjoy it. I don't mind it too much.
Fair play. I mean, America everywhere's got aircon anyway, but yeah, I imagine going outside. That's, how far is that? It's like, what, a 20-second walk and you come back?
Yeah, literally, it's like a 30-second walk. If I don't put sunscreen, like my skin will start screaming.
That's
at me.
Crazy. Like, bro, you gotta do something. Man. But yeah, he said it's a great city, and he was like, if you wanted to go to a state, you definitely should consider Vegas. Hmm. In terms of content creating, then, just moving slightly onto anime, then, which anime character do you think would have a massive influence or content creator would be sorry a massive influencer or content creator?
Good question.
Yeah,
I feel like his name is escaping me, but what the setter from Haikyuu on Abo Josai. What's his name? Oikawa.
I think
I think he would have a huge social media following. I think Yuji would, from Itadori from JJK. Mm. I think he would just do a bunch of goofy, silly stuff that people would just resonate
to. Like,
that's why I really
like
him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, especially season one. Like, I know season two is a completely different ballgame because he's dealing with just straight trauma. but I think Yuji would.
I think Gojo would as well.
Gojo would be the type to like post pictures and like thirst trap
exactly.
And he'd gain a massive following with that, but like he wouldn't have to try.
He didn't. He definitely
it's a good question. I feel like we should try to hit I'm gonna be thinking about this all day now, just like other One Piece. I think Nami would, but she would. I feel like she'd be like, she try to make it in like the finance, like content, just trying how to get rich,
how to get rich
or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, Nico Robin would definitely be a book talk girly. Like, she would just probably.
But would she be a huge influencer though? I don't know if Nico Robin wants that.
You know, surprisingly, I feel like. Again, I'm not really into book talk, but like my girlfriend, she loves, aside from manga, she loves like, not like, what are they called? Like the romance steamy kind of.
Romance novels. Anyway,
so stuff like that. I feel like you don't have to have like a huge personality as long as you're spreading knowledge, I guess.
Yeah.
Like putting people onto new things. I think she could have like a. She'd be low key.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think Nico Robin wants that attention. You have to be.
You're right.
Yeah, I think in One Piece, I definitely think Usopp would have something.
Usopp would just.
He would just be doing.
I think Usopp would get caught up with it. Like, you know, like he'd probably like do something like more grandeur, but like. He's not really living that life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just acting, trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know?
Yeah. Sanji would have a crazy
cooking.
He would be good. Yeah, for sure.
And then I guess I know Naruto is one of your favorite animes. I think out of Naruto would try and be funny. I think he'd be like a mid. I don't think he'd be a huge. I think he'd be mid. I'm trying to think who would be. I think Jiraiya might have a good one.
Jiraiya would get in trouble.
Yeah.
Jiraiya might get hit quick with the cancellations.
That would be funny. but I just wanted to get your take on who you thought.
That's a great question, though. I definitely want to start picking up my friends' brains about that.
For sure. All right, so then let's start sliding back into anime, and thanks very much for sharing your journey on content creation. I think one thing I just wanted to say before moving on is, the reason why I ask this is because a lot of our audience are either content creators or want to be content creators or just like hearing your stories. So I appreciate that insight. And this is something that I typically ask our guests, and just in terms of their journeys and how they get into content creation. I think you made a great point about
or your girlfriend made a great point to you about your time and how best it's used. I know there's an economic term called Pareto efficiency, the 80-20 rule, whereby 80%, when you're making 80% of your money, but only spending 20% on that, do you, and I'm not talking, that could be time as well. Do you want to essentially flip that? So then you are now going to spend more 80% of your time in relation to getting 20% of your money. So you basically want to make sure that the place that you're putting your graft in is where you're necessarily seeing the benefits, whether that be joy, whether that be fun, passion, whatever it may be. So I think to people listening, just like, yes, you can say, I'm going to quit my job and go. But just, you know, have a plan, essentially. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to speak on that a little bit because you brought it up. So I quit WWE, my full-time job, back in 2022, and we moved to Vegas this past summer, so in 2023. So I had like an 8 month like span of just like, what do I do? You know, because I had that structure of like Monday to WWE was like pretty much almost every day, working there, and like then to doing nothing, like just like I have all this time, how do I do it? So we kind of built this structure of like, you know, figuring out like how to post and things of that nature. But from quitting and going full time in 2022 to now, actually, I just had this conversation with my girlfriend yesterday about the path I see. Like, yeah, we had this elaborate, like, you know, dreams of like making it huge as a content creator. But on my first date with her, we talked about our jobs and like what we do. But she was just like, what was the thing as a kid that you always wanted to be or do? And to me, it was, I've always wanted to be like a TV host, or like a host of like hosting things, hosting events, or just trying to make it like in the industry of that nature. And when we talked about it yesterday, because I've been full-time creating, I kind of like realized like I still want to be able to go for that path if I wanted to. And I think content creation has become almost like a stepping stone, because she says it all the time, like social media, your number, like your following, is almost become a social currency.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like when I was working at WWE. What? I was working at WWE. What? I was working at WWE. What? And I forgot what it was, but they were looking for a host for something, right? Or I forget what it was exactly, but she was just like, it sucks that someone who has all the talent in the world doesn't get that just because they don't have 10 times the amount of following as this celebrity or this guy that has like, you know, a million followers or whatever. So with that being said, like, content creation to me now has become a stepping stone to want to pursue these avenues of like putting me back in the spaces of where I initially saw myself as a kid.
Yep. Because
as a kid, in the US, like on IMTV, there was a show called TRL.
Yeah.
So Carson Daly was like something I wanted to do. It was like, I want to be that guy. Mm. Like being able to interview people like and talk about music or whatever is like popping, and like, you know, be able to navigate a TV show, you know, like I've always wanted to do that, which is why I kind of like got into the lane I did in terms of infiltrating TV production and learning everything but that, because that's like a tricky gig. Like, how do you even land on that? So content creation now has almost like been like a resume almost, you know, like because I have things that I've done on my own that I can show people, like, yeah, not everything is going to be like a million views or whatever views, but if they can see the benefit of me, like of what I can do on my own, then I might be able to get in these spaces I want to be in again. So even though I am full-time content creation, I will say from my conversation yesterday with my girlfriend, I don't think that's like necessarily the life goal, the dream, you know what I mean? I think this is like my path the stepping stone. So I don't want to glamorize like full-time content creation because of the fact that it's very hard to make it. Like I've quit when I did, and luckily things had lined up when I quit WWE and became a full-time content creation. Like I was able to get a contract with an esports organization
nice
in New York, and another like kind of posting contracting gig through Snapchat, which is another story. Snapchat has their own like short form content. I was getting paid to do that, those things, which is awesome. But when those things had was over, when those contracts ended, like I'm not seeing a crazy amount of like steady income, right? So yeah, I feel like you have to build a following, and then when you have that community to be able to fund you or like, you know, be able to make it, that's when you can be like, okay, I know now I could go full time into this. But the year and a half, the 2 years I've had of this time of making the money I have made, working with companies I have worked, and then seeing no income, like from like the stints of time of concentration, it's kind of gotten me to like think about, okay, if this isn't going to be a super steady thing, because it's not, how can I still cultivate this? Like, how can I still utilize what I've done with my time and creating content in general, whether you have a full-time job or not, to pursue other things that I've always wanted to do and be able to do and get to. So that's like where my headspace is at right now. Like, I think I've done well enough and gained a bit of traction to be like, let me try to see if there's people that will like, you know, think I'm worthy, or like that they think I have the skill set to be like a host at like an esports tournament, or like someone else's content series or stuff like that, you know? So, and if I could make some coin off of that, that's awesome. But I kind of want to just like, I just want to be able to see that I can do the things that I set out to do. You know what I mean? And I think that's where my head's at. And going back to like my dream as a kid of being a host, I think is something that I think is attainable due to what I have done so far in content creation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a reason why it's the road less traveled, to your point, not steady income. There's a lot of variables, not necessarily.
It's like you said before, it's become such a like crazy thing. Like it's so saturated. Like everyone, because it's so accessible. Like everyone can be a content creator. Everyone can make their own thing and put it out there. And I encourage people to do that, because like I said, you never know what eyes can see it, who they see it, how that can lead into other things. But that's kind of like the double-edged sword, because of the fact that, like it's successful and people can do it, but now you're competing with millions of people to, you know, what's to say that your post or your content is worth money opposed to this person, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, we've discussed this on our podcast as well, but I mean, the cream rises to the top, and I guess the audience kind of choose who their victor is, who their person to watch is. I saw a TikTok the other day, yesterday, and it was a caption of, you've created the best, you spent 4 hours on this video, you posted it, you only got like 200 likes, and you're just crying. And it's a cruel game, but at the end of the day, you just have to keep going.
And I think what you just said is like, if we were to go back to your question of like the thorn and the roses, I think that's another thorn that a lot of people deal with, just like putting all this time, this effort of like, you know, especially if you're using like actual equipment, like a DSLR camera, like to make your content look amazing, and you have the skills like editing to make it like the effects and the after effects and make it look super fancy, and you don't see the
results or the
results that you're looking for, like that's definitely like detrimental to some people's psyche. Like, oh man, like is it even worth putting all this effort? Because you could put all that effort, like get all the shots, get all the fancy, like, you know, cinematography and like the editing, and then or just like direct it how you want on your phone, and then not have the quality or the results. But then someone posts a video of their cat and it gets like millions of views. You know what I mean? Like, which is what people could still want. Like, I love animal videos. It's just the nature of the game. Like you said, like the thorn of the roses, like your effort might not reward you, but that's what's so crazy about just the algorithms and content creation. Like there's no right answer. It's the Wild West. There is no right or wrong way to do it. Just get it out there. Like, if you feel compelled to make something, make it to your vision and let the universe take over, you know? So.
Exactly. I was watching a content creator said, he only posts stuff that he would watch himself. Right. Something one, to your point, like I've watched many of your videos, and I'm sure that, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but most of your videos, I'm guessing you create, you're fun, you're enjoying it, and you just put it out there just to see what people's reactions are. Some might get 100,000 or 10,000, some might get 5,000, whatever it is. it's just more so that's the journey, right? You're just putting, someone asked me on our podcast, like, what's your favorite episode? And for me, I just see our episodes as more, almost like singles, you know? You create a single, it either hits or doesn't hit, but you have to go on to the next one, right? You just have to keep moving. So, it's a tough game, but I think, you know, people have done it. You know, you look at your Marcus Brownlee, I think it took him what? And don't quote me if I'm wrong, but I think it took him 3 years to get 100 subscribers and then just build and build and build. Same with Casey Neistat, it took him like 5 years. So it takes time. It does take time.
And to your point, if I were to plug again Rob from Shona Show, it took him 5 years to get to the where he's at now, like his platform on YouTube, which is definitely his main platform, where he sees the most success. But it took him 5 years to get to the point he's at now, while still working a full-time job as, I believe he's also an engineer. But that's grind, right? That's grind time. Like he does his full-time job, comes home, makes his videos, edits them, doesn't go to bed till like 2, 3 a.m. Just rinse and repeat. But that's like the work that has to go into it to see. And the time, I think that's a big one. Like you're not going to, I think social media and content creation, the short form platforms, especially like TikTok, now Instagram Reels, and YouTube Shorts, I think that has kind of muddied the vision of people being like, oh, instant success. Like, I'm able to get this following like because my short form stuff is going to be able to hit. But the thing is with that, like, you can put out videos on short form platforms, but like if they're not consistent to the point, like if the views aren't consistent, you're not going to really see an income, right? Yeah, you're not going to get paid. Yeah. So with that said, like I wouldn't discourage people from continuing to do that, but just know that you can keep doing it, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very select, like few or like a very small percentage of people that like get that quick.
Yeah.
Follow like that quick growth rate.
Yeah.
And can now turn it into a financial gain. But if you're willing to put in the time, I think like, you know, who's to say you can't also get there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I think you can definitely get there, but it takes time. And I think to your point, a lot of people think it's like instant success. They don't necessarily see the background, the iceberg, what's underneath and all the work that goes into it. And that's why I just wanted to get your point on it, because I think we're not trying to discourage any content creators. By all means, please do it. I think it's just your why, because I know a lot of people quit because they don't see the instant success. They don't see the money. They don't see the feedback. And it's going to take some time. But if you're enjoying what you're doing, it doesn't matter if you get one view, 10 views, 100 views, 1,000 views.
That's the biggest thing for me. I don't ever put out something that I'm not enjoying or that I want to put out myself. You know, if it's fun for me, if I laugh at something, then I'm going to do it regardless if it does well or not, because that's, I don't know. I just feel like people are still a little shy to like be considered cringe or whatever, or like, you know, not. And it could, but that's, I hate that word too, cringe. Like on top of like content, that word has blown up like crazy. Like I hear it all, I see it all the time, but no matter what you do, someone out there is going to think it's cringe, like whatever, niche, whatever platform. So just do whatever speaks true to you.
Yeah.
And you're going to find people that also feel the same way about it. Like that resonate with you, or you're posting like, oh, this guy is funny. Like, oh, I think that's funny too. You know, it all boils down to just doing what you like at the end of the day.
Absolutely. I think that even like, I know my co-host finds my singing cringe. That opening song or that opening
no,
I did.
Man. People here comes the hot stepper. Nah, bro, that was amazing. Nah.
I'm sure. But like you said, you find your tribe. Some people like it. Some people won't like it. It is what it is. Do what I love, and that's the thing. I'm not doing it for others. Hopefully they love what I do, and you know, it just grows like that. And then I think most people also need to put it in the context of most businesses. Like most businesses don't break even for, as I think, the first 5 years. So you know, to think that you're going to be a content creator, and yes, it does happen to some people, and it's just a fluke or freak or whatever fortune, but the majority of 99% of us, we have to graft and make our way there. So just keep being consistent and you will get there. All right. Absolutely. So in terms of anime, what is your anime journey? Because I think I saw one of your posts about you started on Toonami. But yeah, how did you get into anime, and what was the first anime you watched?
I think Toonami is like a big childhood growing era for a lot of people in their anime growth, especially anime journey, especially if you're like a 90s kid. But I think my anime journey is a little different. So I grew up in the Bronx, and my uncle on my mom's side is very, very young. So my uncle's only 3 years older than me. So, and thankfully, we're growing up in the Bronx, we lived literally right next to an arcade. So he would take me there all the time, and he loved fighting games, and this arcade only had fighting games. So as you can see, fighting games coming out of Japan from the arcades, you got Street Fighter, yeah. Fighters, like Samurai Showdown. The art style is pretty much anime, right? Mm-hmm. In those games. So I played fighting games, and I loved the art style. I loved like the cool moves that they would do, and like you know, saying the attack name as they did or whatever. I thought that was really cool. And then like he was watching some of it. I think he was watching either the animated Street Fighter movie or the Tekken 2 animated movie. But I knew they were part of the IP or whatever. Like they're from the same genre. But then he started watching Dragon Ball and things of that. And I was just like, wait, that looks like this. So through fighting games, I got into anime. But I didn't really start knowing it was anime. Because as a kid, you watch Pokemon and Dragon Ball, just think, oh, it's a cartoon.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
But I didn't start watching like anime till I got older. Like, I want to say like not until college. Like, of course, I watched Toonami and things of that. But like, I became like a serious anime watcher in college, like watching seasonal anime and stuff like that. And actually going out of my way to like check out the seasonal animes. But the first anime I watched as a kid and stuck through was probably Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Because I was so into it. It was such a goofy show, campy show, but it was so cool. Like, just seeing Goku as a kid, like, just wrecking the Red Ribbon Army. Like, and it was also so damn funny. Dragon Ball is so funny.
Hilarious.
But I think that's, like, the start. Like, fighting games, Dragon Ball, and that just kind of led, like, snowballed into watching Pokemon and... But my favorite anime is Samurai Champloo. I watched that 2006.
Oh, okay.
That's when it came out. And because I'm from the Bronx, I think I just resonated with the fact that anime and hip hop is such like a mash made in heaven. Yeah. And that's what that anime was. And I'm also a big sucker for like anything samurai era, like when it comes to anime. So you got samurais, you got the animation is amazing. The fight scenes are amazing. The music, the soundtrack is incredible in that show because I'm a big hip hop fan. And I felt attached to it because like the Bronx is the birthplace of hip hop. So that's just like, oh, this is me. You know what I mean? So, Samurai Champloo is like my number one. And that's kind of just how I got it. So I definitely got to shout out fighting games, which I still play to this day and love and geek out about just as much as anime for getting me into anime to begin with.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
is One Piece your favorite anime? I'm sure it is.
What's
the first anime you watched though? That you're just
You know, I laugh because it's a wild one. I've told this story on the podcast. So I, from the ages of 5 to 9, I grew up in a country called Ghana in West Africa. And I had 4 cousins who are all boys. And then one of them moved over. So basically just a household of boys. And as you can imagine, teenagers, some early 20s, they were just into hip hop, rap, Yo MTV, all that stuff. So you heard Master P, you heard Wu-Tang, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, because of that, there was a lot of swearing. There's a lot of stuff happening in terms of content being consumed. And one of the animes they watched first was Ninja Scroll.
That was one of my first ones too.
Yeah. And
which we should not have been watching at that age. We should not be watching
that age. Yeah. I'm an 8-year-old and I'm just sitting there and he's watching and I'm just and he would say, go, you can't watch this, but I'm staying. So but yeah, that was but to be honest, I didn't know the concept of anime then until I was I think I was like 18 then I started. Yeah. But to your point, Dragon Ball Z, Yu-Gi-Oh, Beyblade, all that to me was just cartoons. Until I finally got into the realm of anime and so on and so forth. But yeah, that was vividly the
Ninja Scroll was your first
anime watched. That's crazy. It's crazy.
But I will say though, Jubei is just a cool character. He's so cool. And I know there's a series, but the movie is standout to me. I think to a lot of people,
for sure,
because of just like the graphic nature and that stuff. So it definitely sticks with you when you watch it.
We recently watched it. I think we watched it last year because we did a review on it. It's actually it holds up well. Actually, not bad. It actually holds up well. That was my first one. And apologies, I thought Naruto was your favorite anime, so I didn't know it was
Naruto. I think Naruto holds a special place in my heart. It's in my top five for sure.
Okay,
because that was like the first long running anime I stuck with from like day one, like same, watching the first episode to completing it as an adult, because it ended in what, like 2021? What is
it? I think it was like the anime or the anime. I think
when did Shippuden end?
I think it was 2016, 2017, you know.
Yeah, was it that long ago?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When it comes to that, like I was well past college. I graduated, but seeing it from start to finish, I was just like, you know, that feeling you get of like going on a journey with the character for this long is why, like, of the big three, I love Naruto the much, but who knows? Like I don't hate One Piece.
No.
I'm on the journey, so like I'm more excited to see the passion you get from One Piece fans is like
it's
so tangible. I'll tell you a story. Like the first video that I did with Shonen Showdown, where he asked for me and my girlfriend Perry to be on. We did the video. We were eating dinners, and him and Anime Sundays. We were at a ramen spot. And Perry was very much I don't see it like One Piece. Like, well, I don't get the craze. Like, this is definitely overhyped. And Anime Sundays and Rob gave her the spiel, the shtick, gave her the buy-in.
She's
like, okay, you guys are really preaching it this much. I'm going to sit down and watch it. So she did this without my knowledge. I wasn't sure she was going to start it, but like, she started watching it. And she watched the anime and read the manga at the same time and caught up within 3 months.
What?
Yeah, she was not sleeping.
When did she start?
She started in... When did I meet Rob? I think I met Rob 2020 or 2021.
So that was a good 500... Wow!
Yeah, it was disgusting. She wouldn't go to bed.
3 months?
Maybe it was either 3 to 6 months. She would forego sleep, like, because she was so invested in it. And again, like, she could be, I think she was watching the dub as well, so she would be able to work and have but she was so invested. So that kind of like seeing her like be invested and want to get me into it, and being like all these other One Piece fans, not in a negative connotation, like, you know, just being like, no, you don't understand what you're missing. Like, Oda's the greatest. Like, you know, like, Oda's right. Pen game is amazing. I've never doubted it. But, like, seeing her, like, that turnaround, I was like, okay. Let me start it. Yeah. Let me see what the hype is about. Because I'm sure I'm going to love it. Because at the end of the day, I'm just a simple guy. I love shonen. Like, that's probably my go-to. Like, I've watched other genres of anime. But, like, shonen always speaks to me because... A, I love seeing the hands being thrown.
Yeah.
I love the power of friendship. I just love the underdog mentality. The underdog story. The rags to riches stories, if you will. So if Luffy is anything, like, I'm past Alabasta.
Okay.
But I'm just excited to see Luffy's journey and see how the dots connect as all the One Piece fans just like, oh, like, just wait till you make this connection back here. You know what I mean? So it's really interesting. And I think it's so funny how, like, you guys are a cult. Like, it's a cult. the way Oda's like God.
Nah, he's not my God. But yeah, I hear that. I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I'm excited for the journey.
I mean, your girlfriend must be biting her tongue when you're like watching, and she probably wants to spoil things for you. But
I will say though, social media doesn't help.
It does not help at all. Like, Gear 5 is spoilt for you now.
Yeah, like, I've seen. You know what's so crazy about Gear 5? Like, Anime Expo was in July. It was the weekend of July 4th for us here in the States. And they were promoting the convention Anime Expo in Los Angeles with Gear 5 Luffy, and he hadn't even officially come out yet, in the anime, I think, at that point. So It's just like you can't escape it. And I'm sure you've all seen, everyone's getting spoiled online with JJK. Like, there's no escaping.
I try not to,
but like hey, when I got spoiled.
Wait. Spoilers. Wait. I'm all right. But
oh, okay. My bad.
I'll bleep it out.
Sorry with spoilers. I'm just like, you guys are animals. I know things about Gojo that I should not be knowing because I don't read the manga.
It's so annoying. Like, honestly, like, social media and just general, whilst it's great in terms of collaboration and communication, it really does spoil things. Like, can you imagine, like, seeing Super Saiyan, which I remembered, I still get tingles. Like, when I first saw Super Saiyan, like, for me, that was one of the most epic transformations I've ever seen. And to think that if it came out today and I just saw it on a social media without seeing Goku's journey, without understanding the context with Krillin, his best friend, all these things coming into play and then Goku just going berserk and then transforming. And then you just seeing that on social media, the impact would be lost so much.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think...
Which is why I am enjoying JJK, but if I did not know the spoilers I know, like what I just accidentally mentioned, I think they would have hit a lot harder for me.
Yeah.
So that's the not good thing about it. Because of course, like, people are so excited to talk about what they found out, whether they're reading the manga or whatever. And they want to get that information out there to talk with other people. Or they're just doing it for clout, for like, you know, just get the quick views of whatever TikTok they post about. It's like, oh, you know, this just happened. But you really just ruin it for other people. Because they can't control what they see on their For You page or what they're scrolling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless they like block or mute certain words or whatever. But that's so much extra work to do. I don't want to have to keep that always in the back of my head, my mind, that like I'm going to be spoiled from this anime that I'm watching. But it's a tough lane to navigate when you're in this space.
I think when you hear anime is good, you just have to, unfortunately, just lock 3 days out, however long it is, and just watch it because it's eventually going to get spoiled. But no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But and then speaking of your top five, what is your top five then? And again, we don't judge here. You can be anything you want.
I don't have a rating in the sense, like, my rating when it comes to anime, if I enjoy the story, then that's all that matters. If it was entertaining to me, I feel like my top 10 in general is just changing as I'm getting older and just watching more anime, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my top five, I'd probably do Samurai Champloo, Cowboy Bebop, Naruto, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. These are all interchangeable, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
One day I'll feel it another way.
Yeah, absolutely fine.
And my fifth one, this is probably going to be a hot take. Well, not a hot take, but just like one that I think is so completely slept on. And I'm just going to now put it in my top five, is Golden Kamuy.
Golden Kamuy?
Yes.
I need to watch that. I've heard so much about it.
It's so slept on. And if you like One Piece, I think you'll like it for the sole fact of the journey. It's Golden Kamuy is pretty much a glorified treasure hunt.
Okay.
But it's the way they have to find the treasure. Is the caveat. I don't want to spoil it. It's super unique.
Okay.
I feel like the show is like a fever dream of like if JoJo's met One Piece, but kept it in like almost like a grounded, realistic setting.
Okay.
But even the grounded, realistic setting is like nuts because it's set around the era of like the Russo-Japanese War. So like that kind of time period.
Okay.
But the characters you meet are so like insane. Like it's just like, these are real people, and who knows? Like maybe people are this messed up, but like you know, like in terms of their character and like their goals and like how they are interacting with people and going about finding the treasure, or the aspects to find the treasure. But it's so insane. Like it's so funny. It's a super dark, gritty, brutal, like pretty violent anime. But the way they're able to like just find comedy in it too, like it could be the most messed up situation that happened and like, oh, this guy just got brutally killed in the most grotesque way, but the next second you're laughing like you're dying because of like some like situation that happened that like is funny or comedic to that interaction. So it's top five for me because I think it's four seasons out right now.
Okay.
And I think the manga is ending pretty soon.
Mm.
But it's one of those shows that I'm just captivated by it. Like every episode, I'm just like, I need more. I chill for that show in general because of it's just how it makes me feel, you know?
Yeah, we had, I don't know if you know, I Am Truth XP. He's a content creator. Yeah, we had him on a show last year and a half ago now. But yeah, he mentioned, is it Kamui or Kamui? But however you mention it, but
I think it's Kamui. But
Kamui, okay, cool.
Yeah, I could be where I gotta, you know.
he said Kamui, but I just went. But if it's Kamui, regardless, he mentioned it as well. So it's just so much anime to watch, man.
Yeah, I know. That's the other thing. It's too. Crazy. The era we're living in, there's just so much to experience and so much content to indulge in. Like, you only have so much time.
Exactly.
When I was in college,
you could do that.
And had the time to like, just be like, I don't feel like going out, or like I did all my homework and I have all this time to just sit on a weekend and binge watch a 12 episode anime and then do another season and another season within a weekend. I watched so much anime then, but like now as an older adult, like your time can only be spread out so much. So unfortunately, I definitely am watching less anime. But it's just crazy that like every season there's like 30 anime that I'm just like, oh, I want to watch all of these. But like I have to like now pick and choose. Like I only have so much time to watch like the ones that
interest me.
I think I like the best. So for example, this season, like Solo Leveling, I think everyone like got a lot of the manhwa.
Yeah, manhwa,
right?
Yeah,
manhwa. Yeah, that got a lot of hype. So of course I wanted to see what the craze was about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the anime is doing a pretty good job at adapting it so far. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know anything about the manhwa, but it's up my alley. It's shonen. It's very shonen elements. Like the animation is crazy. The fighting looks sick. And still don't know much about the story, but I'm interested in where it's going about. But like that's a big one. And I don't know. There's like maybe four other animes I'm watching, but I see all these other like these clips of like other anime. I'm just like, when did that come out? Like, how did I miss that?
Yeah.
And then you realize like it's because you watch these animes instead and didn't have time to like go back. So I have like a bunch of tabs open of ones that I haven't watched since like 2019 or like 2020. Well, there's like anime like have yet to be started and won't, because if you think about it, like seasons are like what, 12 to 13 episodes, and you're going to do that for 10 anime you want to watch? Like, that's like, how many hours in a week can you fit that in?
I can't, honestly.
I know, it's such a shame.
It's a shame, but like you mentioned, you got older, you got more responsibilities.
Yeah.
Everything's vying for your attention, work, life, extracurricular. So it's very tough, and you have to just pick and choose what's your
interest. What are you watching now, aside from movies, of course?
I just watched Pluto, which is phenomenal. Oh,
I just watched that. I just watched that with my girlfriend as phenomenal. Well on Netflix. Yeah, she loved it. I was surprised how deep it was going to get.
Yeah.
I was very surprised. But aside from that, like I thought it was a beautiful show.
Yeah, absolutely phenomenal. I like the whole kind of robotic AI. So Ghost in the Shell is my top. Top three. I mean, I guess.
What's your top three?
One Piece, Ghost in the Shell, Hajime no Ippo.
I still think Hajime is slept on. I still think not enough people are watching it. And I still think in the realm of sports animes, I still think people don't give it its credit.
Nah, because
I think maybe it's recency bias. Like everyone's talking about Blue Lock.
Yeah. It's a great show.
Everyone's talking about Haikyuu, of course. Everyone's talking about like, the Kuroko no Basket, things of that nature. But I think Hajime no Ippo needs to be to be up there. Like you need to be talking about this show for sure. It's because it's an older anime and people are like a little iffy on starting it, but
it's an incredible anime, honestly. And it's your quintessential shonen, the rags to riches. But it's so beautiful. So beautiful.
Like, you know, I love that. I think hopefully it gets its due justice of being, you know, talked about. And when I find people that watch it, it's just like, I found you, but like, how do we get other people to watch it? You know what I mean?
I mean, I spread the word through my podcast. So
there you go.
There you go. Then if I had to add another two, I'd say AOT. I think, and I said this on our podcast, AOT for me is the anime of the decade, for the last decade, for me personally.
Well, no, I'd have to agree. I know I'm kind of in the audience of like wishing they were able to go about ending it like in a more proper time span. And again, that's out of their control, probably out of our control as fans.
Yeah.
But I think AOT is like a generational anime, like you said, because without it in 2014, like, it opened the floodgates, I feel like, for the casual person. You know yes. what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like you wouldn't have as many people getting into it without that episode one being the way it did.
Yeah.
And getting wanting people to, like, feed for it more. Mm-hmm. And be like, oh, like, where is it going to go? And then the way the story changes from dealing with, you know, a civilization dealing with titans, like these giant monsters eating people, to
yeah.
dealing with the politics of the world they live in. And these are like, it's actually, you know, the people are the people you gotta, the people in are who you gotta watch out for.
Yeah.
And on top of like the titan powers and all that. But yeah, AOT is definitely goated for that.
Yeah,
for
sure. Definitely generational. And I think, yeah, I think you're right. If it didn't stop and start, and again, might have been, you know, so many different reasons. If it was a bit more continuous, it would have been great. But as a cat, as a, like, a book of work.
As a body of work?
Body of work, yeah, sorry. Not, yeah. yeah.
So with that being said, did you like the ending? Like,
I actually liked it.
I didn't read the manga. So, like, the anime was yeah. my first iteration of seeing the ending itself. And
mm-hmm.
I know there was a lot of, when the manga had ended however many years or months before
mm-hmm.
the anime ended, there was a lot of, you know, controversy of people hating it and blah, blah, blah. I didn't mind it either. Yeah, I thought for the story they told,
yeah,
it was the way it was going to go.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Not to do many spoilers, but I did watch after the credit scene with the boy and everything. And
right.
I just loved his message about, you know, yeah. history repeating itself. And I think there's a lot of parallels with our own, you know, life.
To say that.
Yeah.
Yep.
History repeats itself in the real world as well.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think it just, with that said, history repeating itself, it just shows the human element. Like, people have done this and will continue to do this if they do not
yep.
change, like, the their mindset and the way they live life, and letting go of the past, I guess, if you want to.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a great
one. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it was mm-hmm. a good send-off, and I'm content with the way it ended, and I think people just, like, I'm so jealous of people that are able to binge it now and get that story
yeah.
in one
yeah.
shot,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
For sure. For sure. I think my yeah. brother, he started, I think, and stopped because, like, it just kept stopping. He's not really a massive anime head. He just watches here and there. It's like a casual. I wouldn't even we started the show. We're not experts. By far means we are not experts, but we just do it because we love anime.
Yeah.
But I guess we watch more than the average, I say, casual anime fan. And
right.
he's more so like casual watches here and there.
Yeah.
And yeah, he stopped because, again, stop, start. So I think he's going to go back to it. But yeah, anyone.
Do you think the story will hit the same now that if you were to go back and watch it, like, from start to finish with no breaks?
I think so. I think so. Because there was a lot of deep, I guess, storylines in there that I had to actually go back and understand in terms of right. relationships, in terms of who is who. In terms of going from future to past to Eren's vision to,
do you think you'll enjoy it? Like, let's say you were to watch it from start to finish again, and
yeah.
now you don't have to wait because it's
yeah.
Do you think you'll enjoy that experience of watching it more?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think so. I think because you might forget, like,
yeah, for sure.
You might be like, too old and I have to go watch.
I forget that this anime. It took a decade. Like, it literally took a decade to complete. Like, 2014, I think,
was exactly.
It came out, and then, you know, it ending however many months ago it did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's yeah. crazy to think a decade has gone by, you know?
I think watching it as a body of work in like, to your point, in sequence, is going to be a much more bigger impact than having yeah. to stop, start. Because even when the new season came out, I kind of watched the end of the last season just to refresh my memory.
Right.
So yeah, for me personally, I think so. And then my last one, number five, and this is just more so because of what it did for anime in general. I know it gets a lot of flack, but Dragon Ball Z has to be, just because of what it did for the culture.
Yeah, I think DBZ gets a lot of unnecessary hate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying a lot of people hate it, but the people, when I talk to people and they think it's overrated, or they don't see the appeal of Goku as a character,
mm-hmm.
I think they're forgetting how much of an impact.
Oh yeah,
the anime had it. Goku had as a singular character
because yep.
you got kids, you know, screaming, like, you know, as wanting to become Super Saiyan, like, you
for
know
sure.
that's like, you know, and like and reiterating saying the Kamehameha as a kid,
yeah.
and just like the fact that, you know, Goku's, I want to do this for a video. Like, just I want to see, like, just go up to an old person and be like, "Yo, do you know who this? Do you know who this character is?" Yeah. Show the picture. Go up to it. They'll I guarantee know. You, they'll be like, "Yeah, that's I know yeah. who that is." Like, they might not know the right name, but they can yeah. be like, "Oh yeah, he's the guy that turns into a blind guy yeah, or whatever." Yeah, you know yeah, what I mean? Yeah, yeah. That's the kind of impact Goku and Dragon Ball Z has, and I think that's why the anime that just that whole franchise deserves the credit it does.
Oh, for sure.
For it to be in your top five, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those top three never move, but like 4, 5, and the rest, that interchangeable. Naruto was in there. I just thought, I hate the flack people. And I love the skit you guys did in terms of like with people and Gateway and anime and so on and so forth. I hate that people, oh, you've only seen Naruto. Have you seen this other anime, which is potentially, I think the one you... in your skit was definite, but in just in general, if there was a more, you know, nuanced or but Naruto as a body of work, as an anime, is incredible. The fight scenes, the stories. The only thing I didn't like was just the fillers. I didn't know at the end. I was watching in uni that they were fillers, so I watched all of them. Had no idea, but other than that, such a great. Great story. Yeah,
absolutely.
Great story. Like, I think because it's from a lot of people's gateway anime, they don't necessarily give it the respect or credit it deserves. But for me, it's definitely up there as a great, great anime.
I got to ask, because since you said DBZ is in your top five, what's your favorite arc from DBZ?
Oh, it has to be Cell Saga. Has to be Cell Saga. For me, it has to be Cell Saga. Although I did like the Namek Saga a lot.
Yeah, I think the Namek Saga speaks to a lot of people because A, that's when
Goku went. Yeah, yeah, Goku Super Saiyan. Yeah,
who he is. Yeah, but I think I also agree. I love the Cell Saga. I think Team Gohan's one arc, man, like just that whole build up to that moment. I think just like in us. I don't know. I'm getting chills just thinking right now. Like
when he goes,
one arm and just be able to just dad behind.
Father son commandment,
that's because I think that was almost, I almost felt like, and I don't know how you feel the way, I don't know if you're in that audience of thinking Gohan has kind of declined since then, but I think that scene to me was almost like this is the passing of the torch, like this is like Goku was passing the ball to Gohan at a certain time, and that's why I think that moment with Cell Saga just ended with that, like. Gohan, like, being able to save the day, like, just really resonate, like, just hit, like, so much for me.
Yeah.
Did you like the superhero movie?
It was all right. I think anything after Super is just, like, I mean, not after, anything after Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
I mean, Super, I mean, and I'm sure you've seen the skits and the commentary on how now Super Saiyan is just a tingle on your back and stuff like that. It's just like, what the hell? Like,
Goku, what color do we feel like making Goku today?
You know what I mean? Like, what the hell? Oh,
I really would love to know if Toriyama has final limit. Is there is there no like stopping like this, like what color spectrum he goes to continue becoming? Because at the end of the day, when it comes to shonen anime, like you need to hit the next level to overcome your current.
Yeah. Yeah.
Current dilemma. So I wonder. I'm so curious. Like with Super, like got, or even the manga, because there are forms that have not been unveiled in the anime because it's been animated. But like, what's the stopping point? Like, what's to say? Like, this is it? Like, they've reached the, or do they not? You know what I mean? Because they're Saiyans. Like Saiyans are supposed to keep like
all near death
battles
are
supposed to make them stronger, right? Yeah. Like or whatever. So it's just like.
Look, it's a flawed storyline. We know that. But still, I just think, and there's a lot of anime mangakas who credit Toriyama for, pioneering and, being that gateway. Like, there's a lot of creators now who are doing more than the creators before them, but got inspiration from the creators before them. So, that's why I never trash Dragon Ball Z in that sense. And I have huge respect for Toriyama. Yeah. Of course you can criticize. Of course we're all critics. But in terms of that, like Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, for me, great, 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 great. And I even enjoy Dragon Ball, like you mentioned, more than Dragon Ball Z. I thought it was funny. I'm a traditionalist, so I like the martial arts. I thought from Dragon Ball Z to like a midway through after the Namek saga to like Super, it's just too many key blasts for me at the moment. So
I mean, I guess it's also something that you can't really escape from shonen anime in that time period of like just reusing the same cuts of like the
the punching and like, kicking.
But you know, I guess they had to fill out the timing of those episodes. Like One Piece, I'm sure you in the older episodes especially, like they you gotta drag out the episodes or the fights to you know tell the story they want to, because they had you're doing the mangas, you know, also concurrently. So it's a tough time, but I think nowadays, because of the pressure of being able to put out amazing anime episodes and animations, like there's a little more of like nuance to like making sure if you have a fight scene, like it's gotta be like
it's got a slap,
the greatest thing anyone's ever seen. Like imagine if shonen animated today reused like fight scenes for like fighting animations from like, you know, how Dragon Ball they would get trashed immediately, you know, like you got to bring it. Like, we're spoiled. We've been spoiled. Like
we have actually, I mean,
which is why all the controversy of like these studios are overworking their animators like crazy, because they're trying to pump out this stuff for them to make money, but to like feed the audiences what they wanted.
It's
at the end of the day, like I will always say, like anime has never looked. We are like living in a golden era.
Absolutely. When I was growing up, it was tough to find anime. Unfortunately, we may or may not have to go to some dodgy website. I'm not going to confirm that. No, but I'm glad now it's mainstream. I can go to legal websites. I can support
streaming services
and all that stuff. Yeah, so. I'm happy that I can do that. And yeah, I'm so happy to see where anime is at the moment. So kudos to anime and kudos to all those creators and people working on anime studios, because I know it's not easy at all. Sorry, I was just looking at my notes. Okay, cool. So in terms of like next question, now I know you cosplay a lot. And I guess...
I want to say a lot.
Okay, maybe not a lot.
No, can you ask your question, but then like I'll practice it.
But you do cosplay, right?
Which is good. I will say that I don't consider myself a cosplayer because of the effort.
I thought your Doflamingo ones are good. And
I appreciate that, but did you have like a full question with that?
Okay, so I was just going to ask like, what was your favorite anime character you cosplayed? Because I did like Doflamingo and the Nanami one you did.
Okay, so my first, aside from Halloween, right? Because Halloween, I was like, we're celebrating this holiday. We get to dress up as whatever and call it a day. I have never cosplayed with the intention of cosplaying. You know, like I started going to anime conventions, like small ones around 2016, but like during the pandemic, the first anime convention I went to when it opened up was Anime NYC 2021.
Yep.
And because of the pandemic, you know, I got to meet my online friends or make my friends online. And then a lot of them were like, yo, Anime NYC 2021 is the first convention that's open to the public. Like it's happening. We want to go there so we can all meet each other. Like let's all go there and like actually see each other and be friends in real life. Right. So, they were all talking about their cosplay plans. I was like, oh man, this is like, they're all doing it. Like, I want to do it. So Anime NYC 2021 was the first time I was like, I'm going to cosplay. That was like my intentional cosplay. And I did Hanma Shuji from Tokyo Revengers, his post-time skit version. But aside from him, I've only cosplayed him, Doflamingo, Nanami, and now Spider-Man India. So I've only done four cosplays, but... And that's why I don't consider myself a cosplayer, I've only done four. I'm still really new to it, but I definitely don't put in the amount of effort, time, crafting. Like these, you got people making their cosplays from scratch.
You know what I mean?
Like for the Doflamingo one, that's probably one of my favorites for sure. I just found the feathered cape online, bought it for like, I don't know, I think it was like $60. And then I already had a suit. You know what I mean? And then I dyed my hair. I bleached my hair blonde. And then I bought the sunglasses.
I mean, you know that's effort.
But compared to people that are literally making their cosplays,
it's levels, but still, it's still cosplay.
I will say though, to what you're saying, to your point, people that do things of that nature, of like literally creating cosplays from scratch, will see me and be like, "Oh, just because you're buying, like you're still a cosplayer."
Yeah,
and that's what you're saying. So yeah, like it just to me, like the amount of like I don't feel it because A, I've only done four, and the amount of time it takes for me to put on my cosplay opposed to other people having to build it from scratch, I just feel like. They're giving me too much credit, but cosplay is something that I think I do, especially for conventions, but it's also for like, if I can think of content to make for this character or do, like I'm more motivated to want to cosplay. Like, for example, I guess I could just say it here because I've already said it online, with the news and the release of the Netflix live action of Avatar: The Last Airbender, I've always wanted to do Sokka, but I feel like I should do Sokka, you know, because of like it, the timing, but he's like the next cosplay I want to do. But it doesn't take me a lot of effort to do that for me. Like I already have the hair. I just got to put my hair in a bun and then wear his outfit, which I bought. But like there are people that are making his boomerang from scratch and like, you know, and build like, you know, so like I don't have that in me, but like I appreciate the fact that like, you know, these cosplayers are just like, oh no, like yeah, you're doing your thing. Like good for you. So. But to answer your question, I think Dolphy putting on the feather cape, he's a sick
character anyway. Yeah,
I feel like him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I know he's hated, but I love him. I love him too because of how much like
favorite.
That's
villain,
a great villain. That's
yeah.
a great
favorite
villain.
Villain. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Him and Enel.
Yeah, so I think Doflamingo's probably up there for me because, like I said, I've only done. Cool. Dolphy, Nanami, Hanma, and Spider-Man India. In Spider-Man India, I'm just wearing a spandex suit, you know, and I just happen to be of the same like makeup. I'm South Asian as well, so, and I guess like the timing was there. Just the movie came out, and I went to Anime Expo, and I do want to. I was that guy wearing a not anime cosplay at an anime convention, and it just resonated with people because the movie had just come out, and I was surprised how much. The movie would like is resonating with people. Like like the movie has come out, like came out 7-8 months ago and people are still like clamoring for the content of just like the next movie, but also talking about this past second movie that came out. So I like that cosplay just for the fact that I get to indulge in the community and like the people that love it so much. Cause people are always talking about it. But who knows, maybe Sokka will be the next one for me where I'm just like, oh, I like it just
yeah,
so much
do
because
it.
Of I plan to for sure. I will say though, I am kind of suspect on how the live action will go, but I'll probably still watch it.
I'll probably watch it as well. I think we've done so many podcasts about anime live action. Just don't do it. I did enjoy the One Piece one.
Okay, I was about to ask.
I think the best live action anime and the only successful one I've seen is Rurouni Kenshin.
The movie. Those movies are sick.
They are amazing.
Those movies. I don't think I've seen the last or the third one. I haven't seen the third one yet.
It's incredible. And to be honest, it's not really hard to do a Kenshin movie because it's basically a samurai anyway, so you can't really flop that.
Yeah.
But they did really well with One Piece, given like the animation or the fantastical elements of One Piece, as it were. So they really did a good
job. Going into watching the live action with my girlfriend, I thought it was going to be so much more cringe. Because, you know, like it's so hard to adapt something in an anime 2D form and make it like hit the same in a live action setting. But I thought it was... not corny at all. I thought like everything they did was with purpose. It was intentional. Mm-hmm. Even the things that they had to switch up about the plot, like the you know, seeing Garp that early on, because I don't think
Garp
early, but it still felt right to be able to tell the story they want to tell, and letting people who don't know anything about the anime kind of like introducing them to these characters that they'll see if they were to watch the anime, and like seeing that they have the importance they do. In the anime and in the live action, so I agree with you. I think that they did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, I mean, look, people. When we said this, people need to. It's an adaptation. You can't say like for like because you know people are like, well, he didn't do this. Well, he didn't. It's an adaptation, so they're gonna take some creative licenses in terms of what they're doing, how they show different things. So people just need to be wary that so long as it captures the context and the story, as it were, then yeah, some creative licenses.
On top of that, I think you can tell that the people that made it, like, they care.
Yeah, Oda was very much involved in this.
Like all the actors, the showrunners, the writers, like they were able to watch it. Like maybe they were already fans, but let's say the actors had just watched One Piece, they were able to like be like, I want to bring this to the table because, like, I want to bring it to life, essentially. I think you can tell, like, from the set design, the costumes, just like, you know, just everything. I think you can tell, like, there's a lot of passion behind the creating the live action.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there was a scene Oda wasn't happy with, so they had to redo it again. So he was very much involved.
I think that's a big factor too. I think having Oda just be there for them to be like, yo, is this cool with you? And if he says no, like, all right, you gotta make this guy, like, proud. Like, you know what I mean? This is his baby. This is his life. Exactly. Like, his life's work.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to it. Fingers crossed it does do well, because I wanted to see it do well. I think Avatar Last Airbender is actually also in my top 10 of all time anime. Absolutely. Because it's an incredible
the story they tell. I think it also resonated with us. I think when we finished, it was like I was a junior or a senior in high school. So that one sticks to me too, because of like the stories and the themes they were able to say, and being able to, like, as a teenager, like, being able to understand what they're trying to convey, but they didn't just outright, like, spell it out for you, you know? There were a lot of underlying tones and stuff like that. So did you like Korra, though?
I'll be honest.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I tried. I didn't like it. I didn't. The only reason why I didn't like it is I think it jumped too far ahead for me in time. Yeah. I really like the whole kind of simplistic civilization. Then you're going into cars and robots and stuff like that.
I don't know if you're going to like the new ones that are going to come out, right? The next show there's
a new anime?
Yeah, so, you know, breaking news to you. So they're putting out 4 animated movies for Avatar.
Oh, sick.
So it's going to cover Kyoshi. I think the Aang gang as their adults. I'm forgetting. I think it's 3 movies and maybe Roku. But they're doing a new anime, and the next Avatar is going to be an earthbender. But it's 100 years after Korra. So now you're going to probably be dealing with cell phones, cars, skyscrapers. You could probably search it up and, like, so you get the
access. Yeah.
But, like, yeah, they put out that there's
gonna do you know what frustrating for me for that is why they I don't get why, but there were so many unanswered questions or so many things they could have done in terms of Zuko's mom, what happened there, Iroh's backstory, they could have done that. Do you know what I mean? Just like close the loops.
I think Zuko's mom was manga or comic that they covered. It was out there, but I could be wrong. I think one of the movies that I said that they're making might cover that. I don't know. I forget. But I understand, like, it was like the way, especially in that last episode, the way they ended with Zuko going to his father, be like, where's my mother?
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You would think they'd be, because, yeah, like, aside from that instance, like, you didn't hear anything up until Korra, so you're just kind of like, I need that, like, to see that
happen.
And I've never read the comics that cover that, and I don't even know if he finds or what happens to his mom in that story of where they go off of that. But I would, like, there's so many, Iroh's backstory. Like, imagine watching an anime of Iroh in the trenches, like, coming up. Oh my god. What was his nickname in the show? Like
The dragon. Was it the king? No, dragon.
Something. But, like, yeah, like, oh man, that'd be so sick. Seeing him. Now. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It would be so sick.
And who knows? So maybe they will. Maybe this live action and then these movies and the new animated show will create the buzz that the people have been wanting to show that Avatar is still an IP that people love and will watch and will go out of their way to, like, support. I would love that, because, like I said, I think Avatar The Last Airbender had a huge impact to us as kids.
Yeah, amazing so, anime. Amazing.
I wouldn't be surprised because that's the thing I'm noticing too. Like the stories that they're making, especially with Spider-Verse, the Spider-Verse movies, like these kids that are growing up now, like Miles Morales is their Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Like not Peter Parker. So true. So if you're able to cultivate that, I think there's so many stories you can tell that will be able to generate that, like that craze of like, you know, people resonating with the story you tell or they tell.
Yeah. That's a good point, actually. Yeah, you're right. You forget that there's younger generation fans.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
But yeah, it is crazy. It is crazy. He was called the Dragon of the West.
Okay.
Last question. I appreciate it. This has been a great conversation. So appreciate
you. Absolutely, man. Thank you again for having me time. On, man. I really appreciate it.
No worries, man. This has been a great conversation. I know on your content, you ask great questions. And one of the questions you ask is like, hot take. So I wanted to put this back to you. So what is a hot take? What's one of the wildest hot takes from your perspective, and what's one wild hot take that you've heard that from someone that you've interviewed anime wise
hot take? Mine, see, that's the thing. I feel like I'm so like, I don't say wishy-washy, but I feel like I don't have anything that I think is like a wild take. It's just perspective, right? Like,
yeah,
I could say I prefer sub over dub, but like, I'm not going to kill you if you watch dub.
Oh,
like,
Like,
I feel like if you're able to enjoy the anime how you want,
mm-hmm.
as long as you're able to like get something, understand the story, yeah. and we're able to talk about it, that's all I care about, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like a wild hot take, I don't really think I'm that guy.
well, what one you've heard from?
But in terms of that, like wild ones, I feel like, I don't understand this, and I never will. But anyone who replaces any one of the anime in the big three, like why?
I
that might not even be a hot take. You're just wrong. Like you cannot replace any show out of the big three. Like the big three are the Naruto, Bleach, and One Piece for a reason. You know, it's a fact. Go on Google and type in big three, and you're gonna get the same answer every time: Naruto, Bleach, One Piece. You know what I mean? So whenever I see people being like, whatever anime should replace one of these anime, like let's say My Hero, for example, My Hero should be in the big three, or like Black Clover should be in the big three. Like, no, you can't do that. That's not how that works. That's not how time works. You know what I mean? So that's probably the things that kind of irk me a little bit. Just like hearing that.
Sorry, go on.
Another wild take I think I posted recently is like, it was fun. It was a fun video I did, like just like what anime villains like people think should deserve a pass or like be forgiven. Like someone said Joe Tucker. I was just like, that's definitely bait. But the fact that he had the audacity to say Joe Tucker deserved to get a second chance, I'm just like, get out of here. Like it's definitely bait. It was funny, but like if that was a serious take, I'm just like,
nah, I can't.
No
be.
Way.
I can't. He deserves a pass. What? Yeah. He's trolling. He has to be.
He had to be. So I can't say that like with confidence if that's like something I'd be like, oh yeah, that guy, he believes that 100%. I think he did it for the rage bait, but I don't know. It's pretty wild to say to begin with.
No, that's hugely wild. I think the big three is an interesting one because I think at the time they were the biggest selling mangas.
Yeah.
But then I guess if you're looking at big three in terms of most selling mangas, then there could be an argument that it could be replaced. See, if Demon Slayer overtakes Naruto, One Piece, Naruto or Bleach in volume sales.
Right.
Then it's like, well, how are we categorizing big three? Are we just saying big three because, you know, at that time they were the big three and we have to respect that? Or are we saying concurrently we're just looking at big three in terms of manga sales? So
that's a question. I think that opens up to a new question of, I guess, manga sales. In my interpretation, when I see stuff, I think it was just that time area of the 2000s and the manga sales, and just that era of them always being on the Shonen Jump covers together and stuff like that. But yeah. I am all for them iterating a new big three. Like, absolutely.
I think you should have a new. I don't think you should try and I mean, but then can you have a new one? I just leave it as it is, man. Even if Demon Slayer does, or another the same Frieren or whatever squad is going to be the next big thing. Frieren, like, I just think just leave. Have you seen it, Frieren or Frieren? Is it good? We haven't started, but we were making fun of it. The only reason why we were making fun, by the way, is because the name's crazy. But a second thing is just more so, there was an editor who said Frieren. How do you say it? Is it Frieren?
I say Frieren, yeah.
Okay, Frieren is going to be bigger than Demon Slayer. And I thought that was a wild take. But apparently they said in 5 years, Frieren is going to be bigger than Demon Slayer. And the chokehold Demon Slayer's had, like, you go to so many of these comic cons or anime cons, you see the cosplay of Demon Slayer everywhere. Like, kids are buying the number one movie merch. I mean, Demon Slayer is doing like what was the number, 6 billion or something, and apparently it has its own plane and like just crazy stuff.
So I only watch the anime. Mm-hmm. I think my girlfriend is reading the manga as well, because like a lot of people, when you see an anime and you watch a certain amount of episodes, after a certain point, you're kind of like, I need more. I need all of them. Like, I need to read. So she's on that wave. I'm curious to whether or not the manga is that strong to get to that Demon Slayer point, being a Demon Slayer. But I will say, Frieren, the anime, from what because we keep up with it, it's about 20 something episodes in so far. It's definitely taken me by surprise. Like,
wow.
Episodes 1 and 2 is a bit of a slow burn, but after those two, like, it opens up. Like for example, I'll say this: when I was watching the anime, I was like, oh, okay, it's like an adventurer sort of medieval fantasy sort of adventure. But the quality of the animation and the fight scenes are incredible. Okay. And I would have never guessed from looking at it on the outside in, you know, like looking at just episode 1, that it would get to, it would go off like that. So, but it's also an interesting story too. They're telling this adventurer's party story in a different light, of where in episode 1, it starts off with the main character Frieren finishing her journey with the party she's with, defeating the Demon King. And then it's about like how she lives her life after the fact, because she's an elf, so she doesn't age. Like, she ages super slow. So then it dives into like human relationships, like, you know, things like that, and how time passing, how the lay of the land gets affected with the amount of time that passes. But the fight scenes, I was like, more people need to see this because of what they're showing. And the point they're at right now in the anime is opening up to, I think right now they're doing pretty much like the quote unquote Black Clover Magic Knights exam arc. So everyone loves a tournament arc or an exams arc. So I'm excited for that, because I know they're going to go off even more with more fight scenes and stuff like that. But the story they're telling is really cool. So that's why I'm wondering, because of episode 1 and 2, like, it's kind of like you're expecting one thing, but then after a certain point, it's like they're showing you a whole different, like, they're showing you way more than you thought. So if people can get past a few episodes, maybe it'll get that craze. But I think it's because Demon Slayer, like, you're getting the story right then and there.
Yeah.
Like episode 1, family gets murdered, revenge story. You know what I mean? Like, how do I avenge my family, but in turn save civilization from this demon guy that's like, once, you know, just demon kind to be the overarching demographic in society, right? So that's that story, like, anyone can digest it and be like, okay, like, I'm in it or I'm not. You know what I mean? With episode 1 with Frieren, you're kind of like, you might not see past that point, because you're just like, episode 1 was kind of slow, not for me. You know what I mean?
Because I
still don't think the manga is being as talked about, like, as it should be, if someone is saying that Frieren should be, or is trajected to be as crazy or get as big as Demon Slayer. I hope it does, because I'm like, the anime is, like I said, it blew me out the water. So I hope it gets that recognition, because the aside from the story, I can't reiterate enough, like, whoever's working on it, like, it's like movie quality. Like, that's how good it is. Yeah, it's like the animations, like the fight scenes are like, I'm talking, there was a fight scene that came out with an anime the same day that, or the same week when the Maharaga Sukuna fight came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh nah, Frerin looks way better. Granted, that JJK episode, they were only 30% complete with animating it because the animators were on such a time crunch.
So
that fight could have looked way better. But the Maharaga Sukuna fight compared to that one, I'm just saying, like, Frerin is that good. It's that good. The fight, like I said, like, and when you're dealing with mages and magic,
yeah,
like, you don't think the fights could be that crazy, but
yeah,
it's pretty sick. And there's one scene, there's one character in that show in Frerin that has an axe, and he has an axe fight with another axe wielder, and that was like, you think like swords are the coolest thing. Axes are like kind of like, you know, only dwarves and big characters use dwarf. Like they were the amount of finesse with just the axe fight was insane. Like, just you gotta watch it. That's all I can say. You gotta watch it. It's good. If you haven't watched Frerin, definitely watch it because you'll definitely be taken aback by.
I'm gonna watch it and then I'm gonna message you my.
No, please, man. I think the first two episodes are kind of like, you know, plot synopsis, getting through like the weeds of just like the world building. But then episodes, I think past episode three is when you get like, oh, the story is doing this. You know, I'm like, oh, they're fighting monsters, but it looks like this. Like there's like, you know what I mean? Like there's they fight a monster. I'm not gonna say what kind of monster, but like it's just like, how cool could this fight scene really look? And it's like, oh, it looks like a movie, you know? Like,
okay.
Oh man,
okay.
I can't gush about it enough. It's really
good. No. I mean, look, I may eat my words because the episode we did in terms of Frerin and Justin, because we were just talking about different I think it was just social news, and yeah, I was very shocked to see that this person said it's going to be bigger than Demon Slayer. But the way you're talking about it, I will say, I have to look at it.
I will be very surprised if it gets that big.
Okay,
I'm rooting for it for sure. Yeah. But I will be surprised if it reaches that because you would think, because let's say Demon Slayer season one was like 20 something episodes,
mm-hmm.
but episode 19, I think, was when he fought the spider dude. When he unlocks the fire wielding I think that episode really blew up
mm-hmm.
Demon Slayer, like, and took it on that trajectory because, you know, it made that episode made the mangaka cry. She was like, oh my god, this looks amazing. Like, everyone was raving about it. But I think Demon Slayer, like I said, like, people. And this could be a testament to Ufotable, like, you know, being the studio that
mm-hmm.
is, they just always, like, they make great anime. And, like, all the animation that they do is phenomenal looking.
Mm-hmm.
Super digestible for kids, anyone to watch. It'd be like, okay, I got a simple story and it looks amazing. Like, it's like eye candy, right? So
mm-hmm.
I think that's what really generated Demon Slayer's, like, ascent.
Yeah.
And then episode 19 kind of capped it off with, like, being the craze that it is. So I will be very, I'm hoping it does, but I will be very surprised if Frerin gets to that level.
I mean, it's tracking well because I couldn't believe their statement. So we did like some like budget research and on Mao, my anime list, like, yeah. I think it's like 8.96. On IMDb, it's like 9.1.
Yeah.
And granted, it's not got the same sample size as the Demon Slayers in terms of hundreds of thousands, but it's still a good sample size of people who have watched it and rated it that high. So I can imagine anything that good will obviously start spreading, and like this podcast or just in other things, other mediums, right. will start to a point where it just clicks and snowballs. So
right.
I don't doubt that, you know, what you're saying is true, given the budget research we did. But
yeah,
I mean,
I'm wondering if they'll have that episode 19 moment that the Demon Slayer had with this show. I think it has some scenes already, but it's not getting like that buzz that Demon Slayer got when that episode came out, when Tanjiro cut the dude's head off, or Nezuko did the fire, and then he was able to cut the demon's head off. And like, you know, everyone's talking about the music, the orchestral score, the episode made the mangaka cry, and that kind of just like, you know, that kind of blew it up. So I'm wondering if Frerin will reach that kind of moment for itself.
Yeah, we need to get you, what's it called, doing like a rally for Frerin.
Hey man, I mean, people are watching, like, if you're, I still feel like there's people are watch anime if they hear hype about it. Like, yeah, not a lot of people sure. are like seasonal anime watchers where like they look at what's coming out per season and be like, okay, I'm watching this, or they watch all of it. They have that kind of time. Yeah. But I think the people that are seasonal anime watchers see Frieza, they're like, oh yeah, this is special. But to like the general anime audience of viewers, I don't think it's reached their radar yet. Like, because I think everyone's so like, because it's about the hype, you know, when you're
watching. Yeah, of course.
So everyone's like, oh, Solo Leveling.
Yeah,
I heard. Yep. I heard crazy amount of like the hype for the manhwa. So like everyone's kind of locked in on how Solo Leveling. I don't know. I'm blanking on what else I'm watching, but the season at least. But in comparison to that, like even like when Spy Family first came out.
Oh
like,
yeah, that was
people
everywhere.
were going crazy that like because of how well the manga was doing, right? So people were just like, oh, this is the manga. It's so amazing. I'm so excited for the anime. And season one of Spy Family, the anime, did really well, and it generated that buzz. And of course, like, you know, you got characters that are like that people can like love and resonate, like Anya, like the way
she's the one who have a great social media account.
Oh. facts. Yeah. But like, you know, having those type of characters really make the anime feel larger than life, or like the character feel larger than life, is a big aspect to that. So that's why I think something like Spy Family has that kind of buzz, like Soul Leveling is getting now, and that Demon Slayer is getting, has gotten. So Frieren, I would like it for it to get to that point, but even if it doesn't, I still am going to vouch for it in terms of like an anime worth watching at the end of the day.
Okay. I'm definitely going to check it out. And I'm hoping it does well. I don't wish any anime.
Right. Exactly. Anime and I'm the same way. Like if I don't vibe with an anime, I'm not going to just like trash and be like, oh, it's mid, or like it's just not for me, you know? Like,
yeah exactly. So it might be because it's magic or mage, and you know, that has that kind of I don't know if it does, but maybe people see it as like a Black Clover fairy tale, potentially. That's why it's not getting its roses, but
yeah,
I'm sure, like you said, a cream will rise to the top, so I'm sure.
Hell yeah.
You know, it'll get there. Look, thank you so much. I know you had was I wrong in saying you had a clothing brand, because I definitely want you to plug that in here.
Oh no! Yeah, I definitely don't have one. Not yet, at least. You're only putting things out into existence. You know? So let's manifest it. Hopefully, I will one day.
for sure. All right, cool.
But was there one that you were like? Was there one in your head that you were mentioning? Thought it was.
I saw it on your Instagram page. It's called Something Culture. Where is it?
Culture.
Yeah. Otaku. Sorry, no.
Otaku Academy. Okay. Yeah. So I when I was living in New York, I was doing a lot of modeling for them.
Okay. For their brand.
But he's a friend of mine, the owner of that. He lives in Kentucky, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I support him. I was always chill for his stuff. But Otaku Academy, his username is Vibe Dealing David. That's his brand.
Okay.
And he was gracious enough to like, you know, send me the things and do photo shoots with them, so I will always be wearing their merch no matter what and shilling for it. But you thinking that that's my clothing line speaks to the testament that like I wear his stuff a lot.
I really push it
because the quality of it is really amazing, and
that's good.
I think it's some of like the best anime merch that I own and that's out there in terms of like just anime merch in general. But yeah, we'll shout out to Otaku Academy. Yeah, for everyone that's wondering, Otaku Academy. If you need a baseball jersey that's anime themed, he is the guy. But this is also this Blue Lock sweat is also Otaku Academy. He does other like types of merch like hoodies and t-shirts and that nature. But like baseball jerseys is like his thing, and I wear them a lot. I'm not surprised that you would think something like that.
No worries. Well, we'll put it in out there, and hopefully one day you have yours as well.
Hey man, I appreciate that for sure.
No worries. All right, we're going to end on a super quick fire round. So the super quick fire round is just an either or. So if I say Nintendo or PlayStation, you would say
PlayStation.
Exactly. So we're just doing a super quick fire round.
Let's do it.
Just go, and then whatever comes to mind,
okay,
we shall go for it. All right, are you a morning or night person?
Night.
Spider-Man or Naruto?
How dare you? Damn it! Oh man, I hate you! Oh man, I gotta say Naruto.
All right, cool. The last song you listened to?
The last song I listened to? What was the last song I listened to? I think it was What You Won't Do for Love by Bobby Caldwell.
Nice. Smash Brothers or Mario Kart?
Mario Kart.
Chefing or eating?
I can't cook for anything, so no, so fine. Eating.
Pokemon Gold or Silver?
Silver.
TikTok or Instagram?
I want to say Instagram because that's what I've known longer.
Sure. Itachi or Doflamingo?
Itachi.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Wait, that's fine. Mango anime?
Anime. I'm spoiled.
Yeah, same. Deku or Bakugo?
It's
the first thing that comes to your head.
Bakugo.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. Just first thing that comes. Pokemon or Digimon?
Pokemon.
Last anime film you watched?
Last anime film I watched was... What's the one that came out? Hayao Miyazaki's latest film. The Boy and the
Heron. The Heron. Yeah.
Yeah, Boy and the Heron. Heron the Boy.
Boy and the Heron, yeah. Yeah. K-pop or hip-hop?
Hip-hop.
Naruto or Bleach?
Naruto.
And then finally, what would you say to your younger self if he was listening today?
Keep going.
Nice. Kumar, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate your time. This was absolutely fantastic. I mean, we've gone way over time, but it was a great conversation. So I'm so thankful. Please, go and follow Kumar. It's Kumar _Sutra, I imagine, everywhere. So TikTok, yes, Instagram, YouTube. Please go follow him. Very funny guy. Great skits.
But with that said, y'all gotta follow Super Anime Podcast because you guys are awesome. Like, I really enjoyed the... I think you guys have a lot of insightful guests, but you also share a lot of that information on your socials, and it's a testament to your guys' work, the questions you ask, and like the conversations you guys have in general. So
shout out to you guys
for sure. Keep it up for sure.
We will definitely do that. Thank you so much. And yeah, that was it, everyone. Thank you so much. As always, you can follow us on our socials, and then keep it super. All right, I'm gonna
keep
stop it.
Super. Love that.